Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in studio by Dave Orton. You're back. Welcome back.
Phoenix rising from the flames. I'm back.
It's great to have you with us. We also have Mark Boylan and Darren Hughes, our Paddy Power rep for today. Wow. I mean, so much has happened since I last did a postcast. It's going to take us ages to get through it. We had Doncaster and the St. Ledger meeting. We had the wonderful Irish Champions weekend. Such a poignant, emotional meeting. Fantastic cause. With the charity rates, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on. Very feel-good weekend, I feel, Dave. Let's get into Logician first, then. It seems like a long time ago that he won the St. Ledger to me, but very impressive performance, and he's got the world at his feet.
He's come out of nowhere, this horse, hasn't he? A little bit. I was at York when he won at the Voltigeur. Going into
Did you think he'd win the Ledger then after that?
I must admit, I've not been with him. I know he was one of these horses, you know, on his handicap debut, everyone's moaning about how the handicap had treated him, leaning 7-1 on shot at Newbury or whatever. And I just haven't really been with him. And I wanted to give Constantinople, who he beat at York last time, another chance after his Goodwood run. And I just was not convinced that Constantinople wanted to go past at all.
No, he's a bit of a monkey.
I think he is a little bit. But then Norway came out, of course, at the weekend, you know, the third that day, and Frank the form. And obviously, had he not veered, you know, all the way over to the stand side and St. Ledger, he would have won quite well. I'm a bit surprised that we only rated him on 119, actually. I think he was a class apart in that. He's unbeaten. He's Gosden. He's Abdullah colours. He's got the breeding. They'll revert back to a mile four next season. I think he could be one of the best Ledger winners going forward, actually. If you look back, the highest RPR in the last 10 years was Masked Marvel of Gosden's. We gave him 1-2-2. Mm. We've rated Logician £3 shy of that. It's because of what he's beating. So Ron Priestley, who was second, he ran on looking like a cup horse. Nayef Road, who of course won at,
you know, a screamy,
exactly, and it had form tying in with Constantinople as well. He's one of those horses that just always goes off at a massive price and runs well, doesn't he? So I'd be a bit more positive about the form.
So Dragonair, what did you make of his run?
Ground. 100%. I knew in the Derby that was one of the reasons why he didn't quite go on it. And I think that they're just stuck where they're going to put him at the moment. Mm. Wouldn't give up on him, but he has got a bit to prove.
Okay. Darren, Logician, we're looking at for sort of races like the Ark next year now, I suppose. Did you enter him into that market at all?
I'm not sure we have that priced up as yet, Maddie. We'll have to wait for this year before we have the 2021
I'm getting
priced
hasty.
Up yet. But I don't know. I hummed and hawed on this. Like, he probably was quite good, and yeah, I'd say he can be competitive next year in the best group ones over middle distances. But I thought Sir Dragonair didn't stay, to be honest with you. I've watched it back a few times, and he was last off the bridle, and he came there looking like he was going to win. Well, maybe not going to win, but definitely going to be thereabouts. He hit 11-10 in the run, and to me, he just didn't get home. So that's that excuse. I don't know. I never like Ledger winners, to be honest with you. I always think they're kind of slow. Maybe this lad isn't, and maybe he can be quite competitive next year, but he just, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't be as gone as him now as some commentators on Twitter were afterwards.
Yeah, I think he's sort of that attractive horse in that he's a roan. He's not a grey, everyone. He's Khalid Abdullah owned. Everyone's sort of hyping him up to fill the void that's going to be left when Enable leaves the stage. But Mark, what did you think? I mean, in one way, I think you can probably take quite a damp view on the form of the race, but he's just a really powerful, progressive horse, and we don't know how good he is yet, do we?
That's the kind of scary thing with him, because I just think that probably what he's beaten there, I don't think the standard is huge, and I agree with both the lads in the sense of I think the ground needs to be softer for Sir Dragon to be at his best, and I think the trip probably stretched him, and I didn't see himself letting himself down totally inside the closing stages. I'd say kind of them mile and a half races next season would play to his strengths big time, especially if he got knees in the ground. Yeah, but with this fella, like, I'm not getting too caught up in the form level of what he's beat behind him. I'm not too gone on the, while they're solid horses, I don't think the Group 1 level that you're running to there is what he'll encounter next year. But it's all about potential with him. He just looks like a horse that's going to improve and improve next season. As I said to you prior to the Ledger, he just strikes me as the next cracksman. And I could just see him next year mopping up a lot of Group 1s, and just so exciting. And to do it in the course record time is probably the surprising thing from it, because you can talk about the different elements of it in terms of form, but that's obviously a big endorsement for him. So I was very impressed, but I wouldn't be up on Sir Dragonair when he gets better conditions.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to sort of have a fleeting look at the Doncaster meeting. We've got so much to cover, but one horse I do want to talk about looking forward is Threat, who won, well, he got the job done, didn't he, Dave, beating Royal Crusade, who's a horse I really like. Guinness contender for next year. I just think he's very speedy. He was very keen. I'm not sold on him yet.
Oh, a lot of people are, aren't they? Because again, you know, got the job done at York, having been beaten at, you know, at Glorious Goodwood. Looks like the horse to take out of the Coventry, although he's beaten in that at this stage.
Yeah.
Hannon's love him, don't they? And the way he travelled through that race, it's not surprising to see afterwards the middle part might be the
I just think
way
he's very
forward.
Fast. I'm not saying he won't stay a mile, but yeah. I think he's very fast.
Mitchell was on the Monday jury as well, wasn't he, in the paper? And he said, I'm not sure anyone will be taking on Pinatubo anytime soon. That's almost like a little hint that maybe Threat will go to the middle park. He's won, of course, on the Rolly Mile as well. So that looks like his race, I think. And as we know, middle park winners, they're usually sprinters.
Yeah, exactly. Darren, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think he's no good. I wouldn't be going to him at all. Definitely don't think 7 furlongs is his bag at all. There was a length between the first four. I think this is a nothing race. Even like his back form isn't great. Like what he beat, what a Goodwood Lord of the Lodge, who's probably a glorified handicapper. Arizona's probably not that good either. I'd say this lad is grand. He'd probably pay his way, but he wouldn't be one now for me to be going into any of the big races next year.
It's funny, isn't it? It's very easy to say that when we had a certain explosive juvenile performance. Everything's going to pale in insignificance now. Let's get on to another juvenile performance, though. We're going to go to Leopardstown, the first day of Irish Champions Weekend. And Mogul, really well-bred, as you'd expect from a Ballydoyle inmate, won. And he looked pretty good, I thought. Darren, I'll just get your reaction to him.
Yeah, I thought he was very, very good. I really did. Now, I think he was way more value than the winning distance would suggest. Just the ease with which he moved to the lead. Go back and watch the replay if you get a chance. He came there very, very easily and just didn't do anything once he hit the front. That was it. He had a real good look around him. I think Aidan said as much afterwards. I think he's very, very smart. I'm a big fan of the family anyway. Like, Japan is one of my favourite horses, as most people will know. And I think, yeah, going like into next year, this lad will give Pinatubo plenty to think about next year, I'd say, if they do meet.
Yeah, he reminds me of a sort of Churchill Glen Eagles type, where he wouldn't necessarily do that much when he hit the front. But I love that side on camera they had at Leopardstown, and you could really see him sort of explode onto the scene. I'm with you. I don't think he did much in front at all. You could almost see him pulling himself up in front. I really, really like him. Mark, were you as impressed as us?
It's funny, you've taken the first point I've written in front of you at the side on camera. I really like seeing him. I like seeing him stride out. I'm impressed by him. I think at this stage of his career, he's obviously achieved more than Japan had. I think he's more forward than him. I don't think maybe he needs to go as far in distance as Japan wants to go. I think Japan will probably be his best over a mile and a half. I think this fella can be effective over a mile and a quarter. You know, you always get that impression sometimes with horses like Churchill that they're going to stay much further in the three-year-old year. But I actually think he can be effective in a Guinea-type scenario. I think he'd take a whole pile of beating if he went for the Virtue Majority. I think that's a race that's absolutely made for him. And just a really nice horse now, looking forward to the future. It was interesting, we were down in Ballydoyle for the press morning prior to Irish Champions Weekend. They had mentioned that he was running that day at Goran Park. He went off 5-4. But then Aidan mentioned really nice horse, does Everton nicely at home. Wouldn't be surprised if he got beat on debut and if he won impressively second start. And true to his word, it was pretty much that, wasn't it? Albeit now geometrically was very good on the day at Goran. He just looks one that's going to keep developing. And it's kind of hard, as you mentioned there, like all these two-year-old performances at the weekend, all smart horses. But then you come to the national stakes time and it kind of blows Everton away. It's just very hard to categorise what you've seen. But he's definitely a three-year-old type. Maybe Pinatubo was more here and now, but very much liking that horse, Mogul.
Before we go to Dave, Darren, what price do we have him for sort of future targets, Mogul?
So he's actually not priced up for the Guineas, Maddie, I'd say, on the basis that, just given his background and his breed and his pedigree, he isn't going to be a miler next year, but he's second favourite in the Derby next year behind Pinatubo. So Pinatubo's our 7-1 fav for the 2020 Derby. Mogul is 8s. Lopi Fernandez is 25s. Armory's 25s and the 33s and bigger the rest. That's kind of where I'd have thought he would go next year, is the Derby. And as Mark said there, I'd say he's more forward than his brother Japan. Like, Japan was 25-1 at this point last year, and bigger again, I think he'd only won a Listowel Maiden. So I'd say middle distance will be his bag next year.
Sorry to cut you for a second there, Darren. Just like another thing to mention with the Guineas side of things, like remember Saxon Warrior, 3 runs over a mile as a 3-year-old, and then he wins the Guineas and he didn't get a mile and a half at all. I just think with this sort of fella here, you're going to give the impression that he was shorter for the Derby all the time rather than the Guineas Saxon Warrior. I think these Ballydoyle 2-year-olds can sometimes shape like they're going to get farther, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did turn out to be a Guineas horse. He will stay further, but a mile actually, I think, starting next season could be banged there. I'd be interested to see him in the Guineas market.
I totally agree with you, Mark. I think he wouldn't be out of place in the Guineas at all. He's already shown that pace. Aidan O'Brien, he loves to say it, doesn't he? They've got pace. They have stamina as well. Dave, you'd have him ahead of Threat, wouldn't you, at this stage? No disrespect to his connections.
He's basically looking like he's going to be Magna Graecia, isn't he? I agree. The Vertem will be his race. He'll probably win that, I think. Cost 3.4 million. The Dam was a mile 5 winner. He's unquestionably going to be shorter, I think, than that at some stage for the Derby. That would be interesting. The Guineas, quote, would be that way. If you look at Aidan's winners, you know, of the Guineas, they are the tough grinding milers recently. Mm. Churchill, you mentioned, and Glen Eagles, yeah. Saxon, certainly, and Magna Graecia as well. I think there's a lot to like about this chap. Very interesting indeed.
Okay, let's move on to Magical then. She did enjoy her day in the sun in the Irish Champions Stakes. For me, I mean, it was great that she got her just desserts, if you like, but I thought Deirdre was so unlucky, Dave.
Well, we were chatting with the lads about this prior to us coming on air, and would she have won? Would she have won? I'm in the camp that she probably wouldn't have won. I think Magical was the right winner. It was one thing that I got right this weekend. I would have had a nearly even money odds on her, and she was 11 to 10. You could have backed her at 7-4 all morning. So it was a good result for me. And I just, that enable form, it's just sizzling, 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 isn't it? And I know that, you know, Oshie Murphy came in, it was, you know, quite a bit of stick. Would she have won? I'm probably in the camp of not. I think this is Magical's day in the sun. If she was mine, I probably would avoid the arc and go back to the Breeders' Cup with her. Not sure Enable will be doing that. We'll see.
Point, yeah.
Wherever she doesn't go, Magical really ought to win.
Yeah, and Magic won. She's an amazing filly in that she just can't seem to win one of these Group 1s now, yeah. But always runs a race.
Yeah, and she goes abroad and it rains. It's one of those things. She goes to Ascot, it rains. It's, yeah, she's extremely unlucky. Hopefully she will find a race because she needs rock hard ground and she deserves to go out on a high, that one. Yeah,
yeah, more like it from Anthony van Dyck as well, the Derby winner in third. Mark, what did you think of the way the race was run? I thought Ballydoyle, they executed their tactics to perfection, really.
Do you know, one of the underlying themes of the whole weekend was the, you know, Ryan Moore never went away, but I really think he came back and this was his weekend. Just some marvellous rides all weekend. It just, you know, wasn't out of place in any horse positionally. You know, whether it be Fairyland on the Sunday, but I thought this was top class. And it's kind of what you would have expected from the Ballydoyle outfit. Deirdre, I can see what you're saying. She definitely hasn't got the rub of the green. I think she would have been second. But Magical just always seems to pull out more. Even when she was beaten by Enable in the Breeders' Cup turf, she still was fine and still given loads. I could just see, I don't know if she was really at full tilt to try and beat her, but yeah, look, Deirdre, shade unlucky, should have been closer. Just the way the race panned out, this was circumstance left her that way. But Magical, just I thought mentally it was a huge performance from her to be beaten all season by the likes of Enable, to be able to go and then actually win in the manner she did. She must be rock solid, and that Galileo, as Aidan would say, an amazing thing to put into them.
Yeah, exactly that. And it was a great weekend for Galileo, wasn't it? He was banging winners left, right and centre, as we've come to expect. Darren, Magical, were you sort of charmed by her on this occasion?
I was, yeah. The exact same as what Marek said there about Ryan Moore. I thought this was a really, really good ride. I don't think he get enough credit for it because it looked relatively straightforward, but just he just had her in the right spot at all times. He had her in the van. He sent her on early enough because she obviously stays further than 10 furlongs. That was my concern for her going into the race. I took her on in a couple of different spots thinking that it might be a little bit sharp for her, and I kind of didn't really buy into her before today or before the weekend, but I was really, really impressed. We were suitably impressed as well, cutting her for the arc. She's 6-1 now for the arc, so probably not a whole pile of juice in that, but she'd look rock solid for the places, I'd say.
Yeah, she's been very, very busy, and I find it funny because at the start of the season, Aidan said, oh, we're going to campaign her almost like found. You know, she's going to have a busy early section. We'll give her a break and then she's going to come back for an autumn campaign. But they ran her in the Eclipse when that wasn't the plan. They ran her in the Yorkshire Oaks when that wasn't
she
the plan.
She was King George, didn't she? That was her break, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If you remember, she came back in the Arc last year, caught the eye to some, went to Champions Day, smashed that. you know, albeit now what seems like it was against inferior opposition, but then ran so well at, you know, at the Breeders' Cup.
She seems to be able to take her racing, as much as I'm saying she's been busy.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the Frankel See the Stars thing, this. Whatever was second or third or fourth or fifth to them, you know, whenever they're not around, those horses, you know, they drop in grade, they win. Mm. This is the form line at the moment at the top level.
Yeah.
You just got to follow it, haven't you?
I'm actually, I found form up here in front of me beside Magicals, and the preparation is absolutely identical.
It's exactly the same,
isn't
it?
Literally, the, like, race by race, the only exception being that Magical ran in the Eclipse and Found didn't. That was her Found had her break. She ran, and then she ran in the Yorkshire Oaks and got beat, as opposed to obviously Magical won it, but or sorry, got beat as well. But yeah, they're literally identical preparations. I've been saying all year, she reminds me very much so of Found.
Yeah. Yeah, we have made that comparison a couple of times, haven't we? Moving on then to the Matron Stakes, Iridessa. A bit maybe of an underrated sort of filly now, Dave. She won three Group 1s.
Let me just come at this from a punter's angle quickly. This is going to sound horrendous, but I fancied her this week. I've been looking at her. I thought, forgive that last run. I've always had her down as a speedy filly. I thought when she was, you know, at the Curragh, when she took a classic, it was just a turn of foot that did that. And I was asked to feed my newborn daughter around about 5:20 on Saturday. And I went, yeah, sure, I've got time, this is good. And by the time the feed had ended, of course, Iridessa had gone in at 10-1, and I didn't have a penny on. And oof. I sat there, it was a bitter, bitter Saturday night from a punter's perspective. So she's one for me that's always got away. I don't think I've ever got a penny out of her when I've actually backed her. But she's a top-class filly, and it just shows you what sort of a trainer Joseph O'Brien is as well. He's mustard with these types, isn't he? They just tend to bounce back.
Hey, at least you've got that time with your newborn daughter.
I've had loads of time. Maddie, I've not been here for a month. I've bonded. Come on, absolutely. It's like my wife's not watching this. But yeah, Hermosa bouncing back, I suppose, was the thing, wasn't it? It was awful at Glorious Goodwood, wasn't it? When she just went too hard in the Deirdre race and just looked, you know, sort of fell over a hole. I guess she was a miler. She looks it there. But I wasn't with her earlier on. Matron Stakes. Lawrence, I suppose, is the story of the race, potentially. Where do you go with her? Now, we were talking to the lads off there just before you came in, and where do you go with her now? The breeding shed's looking nearer, isn't it?
So, yeah, I think.
Like Ascot. And,
I mean, maybe Foray, maybe the pre-lot pride.
Yes, she won't mind the ground, we were saying, when it turns. So would you go to the Breeders' Cup? I know that John Dance was thinking of that at the start of the season, so that would be a great sight. But you wonder with fillies, don't you, how much they want it, when, you know, how much they go on certain types of ground towards the end.
Be careful what you're saying.
I was feeding one at 5:20, I should know all about them.
Any more thoughts on Iridessa, lads? Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I was impressed that she was just as effective over a mile in Group 1 company. I know she was at the back end of last season when she won the Phillies Mile, but I thought the step up to a mile and a quarter was the making of her in the Pretty Polly. I was willing to discount the last run there, show, because the way the race panned out, it gave her a little chance with the Tory dictating up front, but you'd have to be impressed by how she did it. I think the track at Leopardstown would have played to her strengths, where her stamina was able to come to the fore over the mile, effective on that sort of ground, just for a ruler of the world. I was very, very impressed now at her ability to do it over a mile. Hermosa, right back to what we'd hoped she could do and prove the last time in the Nassau wasn't her true running by any means. And to be fair, the third is running a cracker as well, just wonderful. One has really, really produced a super performance. But Iridessa, you'd have to be very pleased. Three-time Group 1 winner now, super training from Joseph O'Brien.
Indeed, that's just wonderful. I just wonder if she's ever going to win a race.
Horrible ones to follow the moment you get off it, pop up the Breeders' Cup or something.
I feel like she just puts her head in the air a little
keen
bit.
Sort, isn't she? Is that what it was? It was early in the career. I was thinking, she's just too keen, this filly.
Bit difficult, I feel.
One of the
like
Group 1s he didn't win, of course. They did have a big, important weekend. I mean, Mark said that about Ryan Moore. It was a very important weekend for Ryan, I think. So,
yes.
You know, there's been a lot of things talked about there. So,
see him get his mojo back.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, the interesting thing is, we'll move on to Sunday shortly and a certain performance that we'll talk about. They have all these rock solid, you know, sort of top class, top table performers, but they haven't, all the absolute stars in the last 5 years have actually been from other yards, haven't they?
Mm, you know, yes. So
we'll get on to that.
But I think that's the point Lee Mottershead makes, in that have Ballydoyle ever had an all-time great?
Absolute top-notcher. Yeah. You know, if you think back to, you know, see the Stars season, Frankel season, they're always having the seconds on it. It was Lee that mentioned it, you're right.
Yeah. So
that will come up a lot more, I think.
Yeah, before we move on, Darren, any prices on Iridessa for anything for the future?
I have the Breeders' Cup Mile open here in front of me. I know Lawrence is now 8-1 for that. Just give us one quick second.
What was she, Darren? She was nines.
Like we didn't cut her. Right? Like for me, that'd be the plan with her. I'd say they'll give her, they'll freshen her up. They might skip France and they'll send her here. The Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket in the 5th of October. Lawrence is actually, she's out to 5-1 from 5-2 Fab for that. There's co-favourites here. Lawrence, Magical, Voracious, Lavender's Blue, Hermosa and Iridesa are 5-1 co-favourites for...
You have to have Iridesa at the top of that market. Surely she's one on the course, isn't she? You know.
Yeah, yeah. And she's, well, like, she's co-favourite there. She's 5s from 12-1. We cut her in, and I suppose you can probably take it as a given that Magical won't show up. Hermosa probably won't show up either. Lawrence might not show up. So like, there might be a bit of juice there in that 5s. You could probably say she should be more of an 11-4 shot, 3-1 shot. For me, this race, I'd say, to be honest, Lawrence, I'd say, was just over the top. She had a really, really tough race at York a couple of weeks previous. Like, she tried to give it all to Shine So Bright, who's quite quick over a trip that's probably a little bit sharp for her. Yeah, I just said this wasn't her. She might be, freshen her up a small bit. Like we were saying there beforehand, there's not really much point in retiring her now. Like, as Mark said, if you were going to retire her last year, you know, you'd as well make hay now with her. Give her a break, send her over to America, see what she can do, and then send her off to the breeding shed.
Yeah, yeah, I like the sound of that. So let's get talking about some of the action at the Curragh on Sunday then. Fairyland won the Flying Five. Probably not the result a lot of people will have anticipated beforehand, Darren.
Keep myself up at night trying to overanalyze this race now, to be honest with you. I'd say this is the worst group on of the whole weekend. You know, I'd say if you could run, if you ran that race 10 times, you could get 10 different runners. There's none of these fit to shoe Batash, much less run against them. I think he'd leave them all in dust, or the likes of Batash, even 10 sovereigns would be the same. Yeah, I didn't think this was great, to be honest. Sophia was a touch disappointing, but I suppose maybe her previous run was a bit of an outlier and that was to be expected. Yeah, I don't know. As I said, I wouldn't be losing too much sleep over trying to analyse this race.
Okay. Mark, I mean, I backed Sophia. I quite fancied her, and I just thought, although tactically she probably wasn't in the best position, she didn't have the pace to get herself out of the bad position she was in. Maybe not give up on her just yet, but it wasn't the sort of exciting performance I was hoping for. But fair play to Fairyland.
Yeah, I think obviously in the Nuntarp, she hurt her head coming out of the stalls, and I think that could excuse that run, and the ground would have played against her last time. She's a very quick filly. I gave her a sweet coming in here. I thought she had a chance, but you know, I thought the two Paddy Dye fillies that came to the fore, they both brought a level of form that they had promised to deliver all season. I'd agree with you in the sense that I don't know. I think they're certainly going to be a stronger Group 1 sprints run this season, but in Ireland, it just makes me think even more. Like if a Batash was fancying coming over here, I know they've got the Abbey in mind of them and a Breeders' Cup or whatever it might be, but this is a Group 1 for the taking from that point of view. But Fairyland, the quick ground, was obviously very, very important to her, and you know, she's been retired now, or going to be retired at the end of the season, going to visit Galileo, so very much job done for her Group 1 as a 3-year-old.
Yeah, and it just hammers home, Dave, that point about Aidan O'Brien running these horses very often, getting them as fine-tuned and as rock-hard solid fit as he can. Yeah. And that's what works for him.
So perfect. The runner-up's been called a few names, isn't it, by punters, thinking it would be better than it was. And it hasn't probably had the season that they might have liked, but it was third in the Nunthorpe. The Nunthorpe form sort of stood up, didn't it, a little bit. Yeah. Mabs Cross, I thought, was a talking point from the race. Never looked like she was going to pace.
I think someone mentioned it, that she might have been in season.
Right, okay, I missed that. I mean, I backed her and I thought she was a lock for the frame. I thought she was a good thing for
her. I don't understand why they don't run her over six.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly at times last year, I remember writing, these race analysis, definitely worth another go over six. It's just one of those that's caught.
Different horse nowadays, isn't she? And she again, always flies home.
Yeah, you wonder, just at York, she never looked like she was getting there. She flattened out a bit. That was her first one, of course, because she had that mid-season break. I thought she'd come on for this. She was drawn a little bit away from the action at the Curragh, but there's a lot to prove there. Abbey, you know, that might be her race again, but... Yeah. Yeah, she wants some juice, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if something did come to light about Mabs Cross. I thought she held her tail quite an odd angle. And,
but it was the same at York as well, you know.
Maybe it's just a bit of an ask for her on that.
She must. But Darren's right about what he says about that. From a handicapping point of view, 1-1-2, we go Fairyland. That's like handicappersville, isn't it? So he's spot on there.
It's what we've all been waiting for then. Let's have a chat about the National Stakes and another explosive performance from Pinatubo. On RPRs, rated better than Frankel was as a juvenile. Immediate reaction from you, Darren. He's just so exciting.
I'm well known at this stage now. I love having a good pick at horse like this and kind of downing them a little bit, but I can't do it with this lad. I've never seen that like this in my life, ever. I don't know what to say. Like, this is just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Like, he had them beaten at the two pole. And it's not like, you know, again, it's not like they all finish in a heap in behind. He beat the right two into second and third, and there was a good gap back to fourth, good gap back to fifth. You know, they all came home in their own time. William Buick's face, you could see the smile on his face as he was sitting on the horse, which I thought was remarkable. I don't really know what to say, to be honest. Like, I've never seen that like this before. If I had to have a pick, Adam, I'd just maybe be worried, will he train on next year? Because, you know, when a two-year-old is as good as this at two and he achieves so much, they don't always train on. Like, too darn hot, you could argue that he was the same, but he ended up winning his group one, I suppose. But I don't know. This lad, terrifyingly good. Terrifyingly good.
Air Force Blue was another one, didn't he?
I just say, I don't like the Frankel comparisons because I don't think it's helpful. I think Frankel was one horse, this is another horse. We can compare them when all is said and done, but I just think it's massively unhelpful. Like, Frankel was himself. He was a unique specimen. Pinatubo might turn out to be the same thing, but I don't like these comparisons. I don't think it's helpful.
Okay, quick prices then, Guineas, Derby, etc.
Sure. So for the Guineas, we went 6-4, but the nose was cut off very quickly. He's our 11-10 fav for the 2000 Guineas. Siskin is 11s, Armory is 12s, Earthlight is 12s, Mum's Tipple is 12s, and it's 16s and bigger the rest. And then in the Derby, he is 7-1 favourite. As I said, then Mogul is 8s and it's 25s and bigger the rest.
Thanks, Darren. Mark, over to you for your reaction now. For me, one thing that is almost unique about this horse is his attitude. He just seems so laid back. William Buick almost pushed him into the bridle, and as soon as he did, he absolutely took off. It gives me goosebumps talking about it. I think there really is, it sounds obvious, but there's something real special and different about this lad.
Jeez, it was just an awesome performance, wasn't it? It just had the real wow factor, and I think, as is pointed out, on a Champions Weekend, you need a performance like this to solidify it, and my God, it was just out of this world. I think William Buick's smile after the line told the whole story. I will say, you know, the comments from Charlie Appleby afterwards, it's not the first time that he said it, but, you know, mentioning how little he shows at home, it's interesting about him going forward, because I think sometimes these Shamardals, the horses who achieve the highest ratings or RPRs as two-year-olds by Shamardal, you know, some of them haven't gone on to make it at the highest level the following season as three-year-olds. Like, obviously, Blue Point was a very good two-year-old and developed on, and he was plenty speedy. Dunboyne Express that went on to, he raced as Dan Excel or something like that in Hong Kong. He obviously won Group 1s afterwards, but I think if you go through the lists of the towards the top 10 two-year-olds by Shamra, a lot of them haven't kicked on in their three-year-old career, so I'm a little bit concerned in that department, but I think just you have to enjoy the here and now, enjoy the wow factor about it. It was just phenomenal, and to think that a horse is that far superior to everything that's behind him, that's the form that was building, as Darren says, and behind it, it's solid, it holds its own performance there. It was just wow.
Yeah, exactly. I think the lads have summed it up really well, Dave. Just fingers crossed.
It is, and with too darn hot, we saw it doesn't always work out, doesn't it? That was a great case in point. The way that he's been campaigned is the very interesting thing for me. Start off at Wolverhampton. Let's forget that, you know, these are boys that go to the July course and mop up and things like that. That's usually where their best horses start off.
Very early as well.
And he went to the Woodcut Stakes as well at Epsom, which is, you know, look at the roll call there. So all these races are getting massive boosts that he's been to. Great boost for Wolverhampton, great boost for Epsom's Oaks Day there, and the Dam won over a mile three. So while it seems crazy that a horse of this much speed is favourite for the Derby, like Too Darn Hot was at this time, you know, into the winter, and coming out of the winter he still was, I seem to remember, and it probably will be the same. He'll go to the Dewhurst, if he stays sound, he'll win. It'll be fascinating to see what rating we give him then, because that looks like it could be a pretty hot race.
He's always so strong at the finish, isn't he? I mean, you'd think he'd stay any trip.
You know, the comparison with Frankel is interesting, because Frankel had four runs as a juvenile. This will be his sixth run, so absolutely, the lads are right. It is just about whether he trains on. Even money for the Guineas looks about right if he does.
Okay, the main talking point, I thought, from yesterday, other than, of course, Pinatubo, was the charity race. But before we do that, just get a quick word on Search for a Song and Chris Hayes. What a ride. What a strange race. What a wonderful performance from the filly. Mark, just get a line from you on her.
Yeah, it was a sort of ride that if it had backfired, you'd be pulling your hair out. But it was a marvellous ride, the way it panned out. You know, a filly with a regal pedigree. Brilliant to see. And I think on the day itself, the Mighty Lair stood horse winning for Darren Weld, I thought it was very, very fitting, obviously. And the one to take out of it, Kew Gardens. Jeez, he flashed home, didn't he? Like, he's had an interrupted campaign, to say the least, this season. You know, after Chester, the warning signs were there. But, you know, really, really promising the way he saw out his race, and you'd be happy with him going forward. But all credit to the Rosewell team and Chris Hayes.
Indeed. Yeah, let's talk about the charity race then now. Obviously, for Cancer Trials Ireland, Pats Mullen, it was all about him, or rather he said it wasn't. He tried to deflect it, but what a great day, what a great occasion. And McCoy, where he's used to being, I guess.
With hindsight, that was the better of the weekend, wasn't it? Absolutely. He's now, I seem to remember he did this at Doncaster in the Legends race, didn't he, of course? Mm-hmm. Same week a couple of years ago. So he's now 2 from 2 in the charity races as well. Yeah, it gets the public's imagination there. He beat Ruby Walsh, of course, which was great to see. And yeah, listen, I've been lucky enough to meet Pat Swanen earlier in my career, and he was just, he's a, you know, what hasn't been said about him. And it's just another example of how racing gets behind the right causes and the right times. It's a great fraternity, and it was Ireland's time to shine, and they certainly did that.
Yeah, I thought it was a huge occasion. Lots of people saying, you know, it's really what the Curragh needed. Mark, yeah, I mean,
shout, because of course they're coming with loads of stick, haven't they?
So. Yeah, exactly. I thought it breathed sort of life into it. But AP, I loved it. He was out in front. I think we had Ruby pouncing in second. You had Carberry there on the snaff. It was everything you wanted to see, and all for a wonderful cause.
Everything was perfect apart from the flying dismount. It was something else. Look, it was just a marvellous occasion. I think, you know, you see the emotion that Dermot Wells spoke about after the Ledger. You see the emotion in the voice of McCoy and all those lads. That's not something that happens very, very lightly. I think everyone is aware of how much this means to both the Curragh, Pat Smullen, the Cancer Trials Ireland. This was a real occasion that I won't forget for a long time. And I thought Dizzy Scaha's call was just out of this world. I really, really enjoy it. Thinking about it now, I've got the hairs up in my arms. A brilliant occasion, as Dave has pointed out, all the right reasons that what racing can do when we all come together.
Exactly. Aren't we all proud to be in this great industry? It really did showcase it to best effect on Sunday. And on that note, we will take a quick break before we look ahead to some of the week's action.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're bucking him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Then we've had a look at the action from Donny and also from Irish Champions weekend. But now it's time to look ahead to the midweek stuff. I'll just run you through the meetings then. Tomorrow we have Redcar, Yarmouth, Chepstow, Galway, Newcastle. Wednesday is Yarmouth, Sandown, Beverley, Naas, Kelso. Thursday is Yarmouth, Ayr, Pontefract, Southwell and Chelmsford. Friday is Newbury, Newton Abbot, and Newcastle. And of course, the big race on the weekend is the competitive Ayr Gold Cup. We're just going to have a quick discussion about what we fancy at which of the meetings this week. Dave, have you got a next best for us?
Yes, I have. Got a bit of a sneaky one. At Yarmouth, there's a decent two-day meeting. We've got listed action, haven't we? At least once a day.
We have, yeah.
Running around. And in the 2:45 at Yarmouth on Wednesday, the EBF Stallions' John Musker listed stakes. Fanny Logan for John Gosden, who's finding her feet, isn't she? She'll probably be a warm order, but I've got a bit of a sneaky one down the bottom for Roger Varian, who's got a really good record in the race, called Tortiki. You remember she was beaten at Lingfield?
Yes.
Behind Anna Pernup. Really well put in her place that day, but she just doesn't stay a mile four. She's back over a mile two. This is the perfect trip. She could go well at a price.
Okay, nice and straightforward. Darren, have you got a next best?
Yeah, I have a couple here for during the week, Matty. I have two. So the first one is the Oyster Stakes is in Galway tomorrow night. It's a listed race over a mile and a half. And I like the chance to simply beautiful here for Aidan O'Brien. Some very eye-catching form there behind Tarnawa down in Cork in the Munster Oaks 2 runs ago, and behind Goddess over an inadequate 9 furlongs in the Curragh last month. This is a drop in class. It should be a little bit easier to win this race tomorrow night and expect her to go very, very close. And then my other bet is we are heading over to... It's Mal Davis. She's running in the John Musker Stakes at Yarmouth. She was the horse that was so unlucky in the big handicap at Goodwood with Hayley Turner on board. Made amends in at Doncaster next time out in what probably wasn't a great race, but she literally won it with the bit in her mouth sort of thing. Hayley Turner has been jocked off, but Jamie Spencer is a more than able replacement. I'm sure she'll be able to fill him in on how to ride the horse. Fanny Logan is likely to be a hard-beaten favourite, but this one could be a sneaky one at a decent price. I'd say she's a filly on the up.
Okay, and Mark?
Yeah, Scass Darns are taking the words out of my mouth. Of all the racing on this week, we both like Simply Beautiful. Very much on her top of the ground last time behind Goddess, just wouldn't have fed to her strengths. I'm here at Galway at the minute, as you can see him behind me here, and I can confirm that the ground will be absolutely ideal for her if it stays this way. Well, maybe not as deep as this, but she'll handle it grand. Think she'll take some beating in the Ulster Stakes. The other one then, just as a next best kind of target, I don't know what's going to line up against them, so I can't have huge conviction, but I thought Cool as Ice's debut at Cork was very eye-catching behind Aaron Moore of Jim Bulger's, a juvenile that is pretty useful. Just like the way he did it, he was fresh early on, just looked like he wanted a stronger pace to run at, and he was kind of green when he came under pressure, but he showed a nice bit of ability now. He's by Kodiak out of... He's a half-brother to Cool Company. He's by Kodiak. But nice horse now going forward. I'd be disappointed if he couldn't win a maiden like this. He's entered at Nace 350 on Wednesday. So if he lined up there, I'd be interested. I don't know. There's any amount entered in it, so we'll have to see what turns up against him. But he's one to keep an eye on going forward.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I love this. Mark takes us to a new venue every week. It's one day it's Galway, the next it's Listowel, then we're somewhere else. Great to have you on board, Mark. And on that note, time to get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Darren, I'll go to you first.
My nap is a horse I've stuck up here on the podcast before. It's a horse of Sean Keighley's called Tersal. He's running the 8:30 at Chelmsford on Thursday night. Form figures of 0.00054 wouldn't exactly inspire confidence, but I think this horse needs a very specific set of circumstances to be seen at his best, and 10 furlongs around Chelmsford is just that. Should be a lot of pace on. He ran, look back at his run 2 runs ago at Chelmsford over the same course and distance, punted from 33s into 10s and just got absolutely no run. Josephine Gordon got cut to pieces, didn't get a run until about a furlong out and ran on then to be a middling fifth. I think if he breaks from the gates, all right, that's always the concern with him, and with the likes of Let Rip in here to make the pace, I think he could go close, and he's likely to be a very big price.
I like that. Very interesting one then. Dave, over to you.
Love a Sandown midweek meeting, Maddie.
As do I.
Yeah, absolutely. Royal stuff. And there's a listed race there, but the race after the 4:35, which is called Christmas Parties at Sandown Park Handicap. Frankie Tesori takes a ride on a Gosden horse called Succulus or Succulus. No, we're going to say that. Expensive to follow, but a wind operation I think is expected to have done the trick. It's a race he can win.
Okay, thanks, Dave. And finally, Mark.
I'll take a chance on one at a big price, and he's been a cliff horse for me in the Air Gold Cup on Saturday. I think Gulliver is the one who will give one more go to. God, it was heartbreaking to watch it there in the bowl. I'd encourage you to watch back the replay if you haven't seen it already. He's met every bit of traffic, and he absolutely rockets home. Just think if he takes his chance and turns out quickly again, he's the sort of horse that obviously will know more about the draw and the things that'll be make up plenty of. But if things fell right for him and he got the right draw and circumstances played out, I think he definitely has a handicap like this in him. So Gulliver for me, 350 air on Saturday at the Air Gold Cup.
Excellent. Thanks for your insights and analysis, one and all. That's all we've got time for today. As usual, rate, review and subscribe, and I'll be back chairing the Friday postcast. So stay tuned for that with the lads for all their weekend tips. We'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.